Good morning.
Good morning
and happy Easter to you all. I think I'll hand over to Rosemary for some intimations.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone this morning on a glorious Easter day. So, and welcome if you're a newcomer or a visitor. And visitors, please sign our book in the vestibule. This is Easter Day, and our service includes the celebration of communion. The table is open to all who love the Lord. Kirk Session will have a special meeting on Wednesday, 19th of April, to review the West Fife Villages Cluster progress. And then an ordinary business meeting will be held on Wednesday, the 26th of April. The next church walking group will be on Sunday, 23rd of April, around Limekilns. Please meet at Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Ladies' conference, mirror, mirror on the wall. There will be a conference for the ladies of all churches and parishes in West Fife on Saturday, 15th of April, in Limekilns Church, between 10 and 4. Please bring your own packed lunch. Our inspirational speaker is Sandra Schaferius. Her title invites us to consider, what do we see when we look in the mirror? There is time for chat and getting to know each other. Information is available in the vestibule and from Karen Grant. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, here is a quick look at this morning's order of service. Thank you.
I know what I see when I look in the mirror. And the sad fact is it's my dad. It is good to be here, and maybe I could say thanks to everybody who's helped during Holy Week to make our meditations and services so good. And I believe there was a very good service this morning in the garden. And there was a good service down on the pier down at Limekilns this morning. It was a wonderful morning to be up and about. We'll start our service with the usual response. It's on the order of service. I'll say Christ is risen and you respond. And we just get a little bit louder as we go through. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's worship God now as we sing from Mission Praise number 85. Come and see, come and see.
Thank you.
I think we go straight on to our first prayer this morning. There isn't really a place to put the offering to bring it forward. So our prayers this morning are led by George.
Good morning again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have over the last few days enjoyed the beginning of spring weather, when we have experienced the welcome heat from the sun, the blooming of beautiful plants such as daffodils, tulips, noticed the budding of the other plants and trees. And we would wish to gratefully thank you for this time of year and the wonderful world you have created for us to live in. Almighty God, today we especially thank you as we celebrate on this Easter Sunday morning the glory of the risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death he has won. Gracious God, you gave us your Son on earth as a normal child to grow into adulthood. This young man, through you, the Holy Spirit, and your never-ending love, grew to become our Lord and Saviour. He performed, through a very short period, so many wondrous miracles. Through his teachings, we found out how we can become a better person by following his and your commandments. To love as he did, to forgive as he did, to help the sick as he did, to help the poor as he did. Heavenly Father, we again thank and adore you for giving us your Son, and we especially remember through the celebrations of his rising from the tomb, that during the crucifixion which he endured so that all humanity's sin could be forgiven. Forgiving God, we now turn to you in a moment of silence to lay before you our personal sins in the sure and certain knowledge that you will release us from them through your love and forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. And now we wish to pray to you using the words our Lord and Saviour Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We've done this for many years now. I think we began back about 1996, 1997, and it was Ken White who gathered some driftwood from the beach on the edge of the Forth and made a cross. It is wood that is dead as it possibly can be, and I don't think we've actually made it any more beautiful by putting rubber bands around it. It is a picture of dull and dead and gone. And in many ways that is the picture of the very beginning of Easter Sunday. Jesus was dead and gone. There was no hope. That was it. And then during the day, everything changes. First the women, and then the men, And then the story begins to spread. And from what was dead and gone and despair comes life and hope and transformation. And I've always thought this is the best visual aid that we've ever had for depicting that. And if you've never seen it before, it's just a wonderful picture, because it's hard to believe what a riot of colour and life this turns into. And it is our celebration. I usually invite young people forward to come and help do this. And young people includes anybody that feels they are young and would like to put a flower in here, and that's for those who are not shy. If you are shy, there are bound to be flowers left over, so before you leave church, flowers can be added then if you'd rather not come out while all of this is happening. And while we do this, we sing. So we're going to sing the next of our hymns, which is number... I'm trying to remember the number. It's Mission Praise. 296. I stand amazed in the presence. So would those who would like to help decorate the cross like to come out? And we'll sing I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
Yeah.
it's looking really good. Now, I've got a question for young people. And it's really about a choice. Now, the big choice is, would you like to stay in church and listen to me? Or would you like to go out and have an Easter egg hunt? Please don't empty the church. Yes, I thought the vote might go that way. Actually, the cross can just, that's the best place for it at the moment, I think. We will work around it. You couldn't move a cross looking as good as that. And as I said, there's flowers here, so after the service, please feel free to go and put a flower into one of the arms or the post of the cross. We're going to read the story of the resurrection. We're going to read from Matthew's Gospel, and Alison is our reader this morning.
Good morning. Today's readings are from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 15, entitled The Resurrection. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Amen, and may God bless us this reading from his holy word.
A hospital chaplain was giving one of these talks that people are invited to do, and he was talking about his role in the hospital where he worked. One part of his job was to lead a seminar for nurses in training. The subject that he was given, maybe no surprise, was death, dying and bereavement. During the question and answer session, as part of his talk to these mainly young student nurses, there was always a question asked. What do you say to family when someone has passed away? The chaplain said that the real question being asked was, how do I cure the grief of those who are bereaved? How do I make things better? He said that the answer he tried to give them was that you cannot cure grief as if it were a treatable illness. You cannot take away the pain. Of course, he talked then about going on to advise on care and compassion and being with and standing with and understanding. One of the mistakes that we can make in our understanding of the Easter story is to turn the resurrection into something that makes everything better. The resurrection taking away the awful reality of the cross, the resurrection curing the brutality that we find in the story of Good Friday. As though we could gently put that to one side and go, hooray, it's all about the resurrection. When we go to the gospel accounts of the day of resurrection, that first Easter Sunday, there is rejoicing. But not that the resurrection simply cures the loss and grief that followed Jesus' death. If the resurrection were simply the cure for crucifixion, we would find the gospel account of Easter written very differently. There is plenty of evidence in the book of Acts and the letters of the New Testament that this understanding of the gospel would have made life so much easier for the disciples as they took out the gospel to the world. The problem they had very often came when they started to talk about Jesus crucified and risen. The amount of information we are given on Jesus' arrest, trial, execution and burial makes it very clear that this was not a mere detail. The resurrection follows the crucifixion in a very definite way. The earthly and physical reality of Jesus' death is presented as clearly understood by the disciples. They talk about their grief and it is real. And that grief is not cured by resurrection. What we find in the story of that first Easter Sunday and the days following is a struggle to believe. Running through the story is an element of finding resurrection almost more traumatic than everything they went through on Good Friday. Mark's gospel, generally understood to have been the first written, and that gospel in its original form actually finishes in a very odd way. The women go to the tomb and are so shocked they run away and tell nobody. What a strange way to end. In Luke's gospel, there is the failure to believe the women who saw the empty tomb and the angelic messenger, and then that story about disciples on the road to Emmaus. Their failure to recognize Jesus. Only when he broke bread were their eyes opened. There is a real struggle to understand what on earth is happening through resurrection. And the very fact that there is so much about Jesus' death means that that stands too. We can have no doubt that the disciples struggled to believe. Their whole world had come tumbling down. But the impossibility that they felt in Jesus' death was a very human impossibility. They would have understood this as part of a world where bad things happen to good people, where life is inherently uncertain. There may have been even the awful thought that they'd got things wrong, that Jesus wasn't who they thought he was under God. And I suppose what they're saying is that they experienced that moment, that utter confusion, where we have that one word question. Why? Why? But then there's the resurrection. And that goes beyond anything that is humanly or earthly possible. It goes beyond the grief and loss that they felt. They'd not been wrong in following Jesus, but they most definitely struggled to know who it was they were following. The day of resurrection changes everything. All that they thought they knew had to be reassessed and explained. In many of the resurrection stories, it's noted that Jesus had to go back to the beginning and say, look, from the prophets onwards, this is what was going to happen. And in many cases, Jesus would be saying, this is what I told you. But it's only in the light of the resurrection that they begin to make sense of what is there. Their hopes and their dreams of the past were far too limited. The resurrection changes everything. It's not just their understanding of Jesus that changes. The disciples also have to change their understanding of themselves. They thought they knew who they were because they thought they knew who Jesus was. Now they are disciples of Jesus, crucified and risen. It's not enough to know or understand who or what Jesus is in terms of the Easter story. They're going to need more than that. And of course, Jesus, in talking to them, says they've got to wait. Now, they don't know what they're waiting for. We know it's the day of Pentecost. Without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, without the understanding that God can give them, they cannot understand what is going on. Up to Jesus' arrest, the disciples had thought of the kingdom of heaven in earthly terms. It would have been the transformation and sanctification of Israel as God's kingdom on earth. The resurrection breaks through that limited perspective. The disciples are now part of something that is more than their limited imagination. As we rejoice in all that Easter means in terms of who and what Jesus is, as we rejoice in Easter in terms of who and what we are as followers of Jesus, as we rejoice in Easter in terms of God's infinite love for our broken world, we are part of something that is beyond our limitations. For here is that which is infinite and eternal, beyond the scope of human knowledge or understanding. It is something that is bigger. If you've been using the Lent study material that we've had through this Lent little book, the very last study is for today. And there it talks of a new vocation and there be no going back. Or, as the theologian N.T. Wright puts it, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is about. Our calling is not to be apart from this earth, but to be part of this earth. Jesus said that if we were going to follow him, we would be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are to be transforming. And so when we leave this place, we go out in Christ's name. Not just Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the miracle worker, but Jesus crucified and risen. This is about resurrection life, but not a hope for some time in the future, but a very present hope. For we take out with us the light of the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. Amen. As we prepare now to meet at our Lord's table. We're going to sing hymn number 392, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. On this day where we celebrate the resurrection, we gather at our Lord's table. We gather at his invitation to share this joyful feast. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." As the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread and wine, we take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common use to this holy use and mystery. The risen Christ revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Let us seek our risen Lord through the bread and the wine that we share at this table. This Easter day, we praise God who sent his Son for our salvation, Jesus who died for us and rose for us, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives within us and around us. Let us pray. It is indeed right, on this day above all days, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God. We acknowledge the majesty of your glory, the wonder of your works, the riches of your grace. On this day, we proclaim your love as we recognize it in Jesus' broken body and shed blood. We proclaim the wonder of your love through the wonder of the resurrection. And in this, we are united with all of your people, from every age, from every nation, those on earth and those in heaven. We are united with that great multitude who worship with the angels in heaven and all people on earth. On this day of resurrection, we rejoice in the wonder of all that Jesus has done for us. We look to our Saviour, thanking him and praising him for the wonder of his love, his willingness to die even for such as we are. We rejoice to be here at his table, remembering again his words about the bread and the wine. And so we praise you for giving us the bread of life and for calling upon us to drink from the cup of the new covenant. United in faith and love with those who have gone before us and with your whole church throughout the world, we gather at our Lord's table. We pray that you will fulfill your will and purpose in us and all humanity. That through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you our Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, may the whole creation give worship and praise now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks and praise for the dying and undying love of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into communion with him and with all who love him. You have made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. You have blessed us beyond measure, and you send us to be a blessing to the world for which Jesus died. We go out with the resurrection light in our hearts. Amen. It is no surprise that we conclude this service by singing "Thine Be the Glory." It will be the third time I've sung this today, but some hymns you can just never tire of singing. So let's sing hymn 419, "Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son."
Oh,
Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.